good evening, and a warm welcome to the service this evening, those who are here in the building and those who are still watching online and listening in on the telephone. It's good for us once more to come together and to worship God. We're going to begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise. Our Farrakhan will sing to God's praise, and we will listen. And the psalm is Psalm 148, the second version of the psalm. The second version of the psalm. The Lord of heaven confess, on high his glory raise. Him let all angels bless, him all his armies praise. Him glorify, sun, moon, and stars, ye higher spheres and cloudy sky. The whole of this psalm will sing to God's praise, and then after this psalm has been sung, Farrakhan will lead us in a word of prayer in Gaelic, please.
The Lord of heaven confess, on high his glory raise. Him let all angels bless, him all his armies praise. Him glorify, sun, moon, and stars, ye higher spheres and cloudy sky. From God your being sought, him therefore famous make. You all created were when he the word but spake, and from that place where fixed you be by his decree, you cannot pass. Praise God from earth below, ye dragons and ye deeps, fire, hail, clouds, wind, and snow, whom in command he keeps. Praise ye his name, hills great and small, trees low and tall, beasts wild and tame. All things that creep or fly, ye kings, ye vulgar throng, all princes mean or high, both men and virgins young, even young and old, exalt his name, for much his fame should be told. Oh, let God's name be praised above both earth and sky, for he his saints hath raised and set their horn on high. Even those that be of Israel's race, near to his grace the Lord praise ye.
God, the mission in Nashadanam in Tierna. No, ye grash for naive, because will be honest. Hakamark no one saw any yeskerse or arched the Nambach. Sahab Henskin and Grinnachel Picker Hacken on the hill. Nan at the high hen, Timmy Hillis Dochgold. Be honest, ye, Huggis no verichgach. Huggis as in a tangle or shun and technology, a halikaldi. Blad yn serperich yn yng nghoorstach y dach yma. I fi geistach, dy sy'n cedda fy sy'n has sio. Sa sy'n yw gwrni o'n gras fyr gybygach hwn ac ein. Mae'r yn ymwneud na dylai. Nog a sy'n yw gwrni cwnd ydi chele, os yw'n cyfeisgi mi teach dyr oioch. Cyfeisgi mi ddech yn glor fyr iwntach ydi gianach yn ymwneud dylenach nawb ys y Cristo. Sashing at the mall of the national, Koshun and Karam, hacking in a new adele. If each in corner the hill, as in the old Johannes shock, could be fair was ten. There was nothing neat, dear, when you hung going, if he favored in Kiernan. What the yards in a year said in Kiernan, yet that spin of noag. Edi at Suez, Marinulade, it is gear her. Rui at the Gushanas at ski, surely at Ugus Hanani hiat. Rwys na chasinia, chwlyd dyniac yn eich agwyd fe, bydd y sbion o'r nŵag a hanna sian, sbion o'r sian eich gwych teyn. Di yn hen chasin boch, gygys trwy, gygys anafyn. Rygys gan yr ni, mahad bu y gael cwn i anyn, iag yn y fwnwch yr cy, gwbl na'r casaf. Gan yr ffalan eich gyrbu anyn. Cho hyn y gras fawr chasin y gwrni, gyrwawn sy'n cydw hen eith criach yn. Negus gyda dy dyfala fwy na hwyl yn eich yn y gyd ag fi siasag edrych yn hen agos dy hen. O, nach cryw eich ydws a anyn yn gdi a glan, agos nach anwag eich ydw spirit cerst yn tyb ystyn. Spirit y bygyd glod agos orwm agos molwg gyda nam ws o'l hen. A tha ws y adi edgach glod molwg agos orwm ychdyn. Agus gan yr sinia adi yr ni sybi a chys derag ygys dy moloch yr sga ygys yr piach gyn. Ygys ar piach gyn y diw stialach y chwyd y dyr sy'n hen ygys dy hen. Ach molo gwcht gyda ga gwys y glod na fflaes chanawn y giori ffydd yn yn o'r chorwa dawn. Ach anig y giori siol caeth y aga. Ygys piach gyn sinia cwnd ydi ys cyd cawn cwn and. Nid y ieithiad gan y fysg hyddymysg, ygys na hannig, bron ygys boch yn ygys dorais ygys bas ysdiach na'r nyachdri, ygys a sian cwnd ydyn ygan gwsola yn yw, ach molwg y byg a denem na'ch daga gwyr cyd ffahar yndyn as ystadio fan y sian, ach gyda hwdws y eilach gyd chos gyfi syrwg yn gan y dyna, Agus yn anna caron yw'n ffem yn sy'n chwydws y dyna i'n mich graag a chen i as y Criosta. Iwn sy'n sylf caillt y ffwr y fiachgi. Agus sy'n gbi gael yd hen yd crwch agus yr diala. Colwch dyna ans gachwyl y ni gydig a seg fys piachgu. Agus eisyn dyna bain y piachgu rynna gan y i bwrs fiachgi yd yr soninia. Y chwm agus tref as agus asyd i glod fyr yn y middydd. Gwbeg y dars y gwn sy'n y hwn hen, gwbeg eff hosgylltio. Snyd y glwch hws y machyd y chrawn gwrwa eich diolch nistio. Chai bracht rhywun yn llawn, bwyl. Chai yr iab y gofwnwch gwyioch gwer. Lygus y dars y gwn sy'n y hwn hen, fe anes y hosgylltio gain. Lygus slyg dolas ac yn eich dolysdiach yn yn unig dyrstan yw'r. Agus i os y Criosta yr iedr mianar. A gael yr nôrning yn boch gytrwg y lachbach. Agus gan gair ac yn chlran yn smal ffachon yr wych ar a chwys. O molwg y bygwcht o'n gras frygwylws y tacryg as yr lleu ag yn y gyfom yn sio hen. Agus y gwylw hen y cwtiach o lain yn sgachsys ag y hagi. Hasch ni gadech yn y dian ys yr laich ys yr nanafynach ys yr boch gyn schwfadwch sy'n hasch ni fadach gyn. Sy'n eib mynd o lafos da hagin gylion ydw sy'n dat ysbryd hen. Fygus nad y hig ysbryd ysdiach na o'r criach yn gybwch da hedd falaf na nich yn graen ar loch gwrt eirgol da hagal cwn i anu. O, ef i anu sy'n hasch ni gadefondwch os yna rhaen yw gyn yn ein hias y criast ys na haw gawl sy'n hadol i anu gyn hias. Dyd yn hen gan yna chwysyl ar gyn na chach gysŵl as na'ch cwl Nach dyna gadeaf yn ynghyd i'r dynia. Y maed ni'n eich yn sian y gwlych oes y di o gaif sy'n y gyfer graag o. Sgymaed i gydwys yr graag ni'n gwych ten hyd yn ysgyr sia sŵr. Amen.
Well, if you could turn in your Bibles now to the psalm that we sang, or we heard sung, Psalm 148. Psalm 148. It's good to have a few boys and girls here tonight. So I wasn't going to do this, but I think I'll maybe ask you a few questions just to get you thinking. Let's have a look at some of the things that we can see around the church here and think about what job they do. So, that green thing above the door, any idea, what job does that do? Jono? That's right, it tells people where the fire exit is if there's a fire. So if the lights went out, it wouldn't be in darkness, but that would go on and it would show us the fire exit. What about, what else can we see? I better not walk about too much. What about that thing there on the wall? What's that? Caitlin? It's a heater. And so if we're cold, it's a bit chilly, then we hit the switch over there. And the heater comes on, and it helps us to warm up a little bit. What else can we see? What about these wee square things? There's one there. Oh, not square, they're kind of rectangular. There's another one over there. What do you think, Emily? What do these things do? There's one above your head, see? What does that do? It's a speaker. So when I speak, it takes my quiet voice and it makes it a bit louder. And if I go under the table here, I don't know what's all under here. Any idea? Can you see that? What's that, Miriam? It's a wee lock. So what's that for? It's for locking things, for keeping things secure. So that's that job. You can put it, maybe not this one on a bike, but you could put it on a wee chest or something and it would keep it safe and secure. This, Jono? It's a plug, so some kind of a charger. This thing here, Michael, I'm not seeing you. Do you know what that is? Any idea? Yeah, Jono? You know what? I have no idea what it is. It's under the table, but I don't have a clue what it is. It's a remote control for something, but I'm not quite sure what it's for. So we can look at lots of different things, and we can think for a second, you know, what's their job? Put that back down there. Or what about this? What's the job of this? What is this, Andrew? It's a mask, isn't it? You've got one on. And it keeps us safe just now. So there's all these different things, and they all have a different job to do. Now, the psalm that I asked you to open a second ago, you can maybe look over your shoulder at the psalm. If you haven't got a Bible of your own, look over the shoulder of the person who's got the Bible next to you. And I want to ask you a question now. We've thought about the jobs that lots of different things do, but what's your job and mine? Jono? You got it in one. To praise the Lord. And we can look down this psalm, and if you listen, I'll say this a bit longer in a few minutes. But the job of the skies and the stars and the sun and the moon and the animals and us. Our main jobs, lots of things we do, but what we were created for, our main job, we're told over and over and over here, it's to praise the Lord. So let's read the psalm now. Psalm 148, and we'll read from the beginning and through the psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. Let's pray for a moment as we come back to this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've brought us here tonight, that we are sitting here with your word open. And we pray that you would be working in our hearts, that you would create in us that sense of expectation, that you will speak to us and meet with us. We think about the earlier psalm that says, I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. And we thank you that as we pray, you incline your ear, you hear us. And we thank you that as we open your word, you speak to us. So we ask, Lord, that you would speak and that you would help us to listen. We pray that you would open our hearts, that you would minister to us and touch our hearts. We pray that you would draw near to us as we would seek to draw near to you and in through the name of Jesus. We know that you are a holy God and we cannot come in our own name to try to come close to you. But we thank you that Jesus, he is the name above all names. We thank you that he is the one who died to take our sin away. He's the one who died to make it possible for sinners to come into the presence of the Holy God, because our sin is washed away when we seek the forgiveness of Christ. And so we do that even now. We think back over the last few days, the last few hours, the last few minutes even, and we know that we sin, but we pray that you would cleanse us. We pray that you would wash us clean and that you would bring us into your presence. And we ask again, Lord, that you would help those in special need. We pray on for those whose hearts are broken, those who are feeling sad, those who have lost loved ones. And we ask that you would comfort them, that you would comfort us, and that you would help us to take hold of the hope of the gospel that is promised to us in Jesus. We thank you for his death and resurrection. We thank you because he died, we can be forgiven. We thank you that because he lives, we can have everlasting life. So help us to take hold of it and help us, Lord, we pray, as your people, to praise your name. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, if you'd have this psalm open in front of you, please. I think I got an email from the school not too long ago, telling us that it's soon going to be sports day. Do the boys and girls, do you enjoy sports day? Yeah? You enjoy sports day. And I don't know, in school, do you do training for sports day? Maybe you do some training for running the races, trying to get a bit faster. And if you're getting training for races, I'm sure Mr. Johnson would be telling you, when you're doing the race, when you're running, Don't look to the side of you. Don't look behind you. But stay focused on the finish line. It's good advice for the runner. Stay focused on the finish line. Now, we're in the book of Psalms, and we have been, I think for about 5 years. But we're almost at the finish line. And as we approach the finish line of this book, what's the focus? What are we focusing on in these last few Psalms? Well, it's very clear to see that the focus in these closing Psalms is a focus on the Lord. It's a focus on praising the Lord. There are some Psalms that deal with heartache. There are some Psalms that deal with doubt. There are some Psalms that deal with all kinds of trouble, and there's teaching within them. But the focus at the end of the Psalter here is very much on praising the Lord. Our job, if we are God's people, is to praise the Lord. And even if we're not yet God's people, his calling is that we will trust him and that we will praise the Lord. So with this psalm open tonight, I want to ask four questions two times, if that makes sense. I want to ask four questions. The question, first of all, is what? Second question is where? Third question is who? And the fourth question is why? And I'm going to ask these questions two times over. So first of all, as we come to verse 1, we ask the question, what? What are we directed to do through this psalm? And the answer from the very start of this is, as John has said to us, we're directed to praise the Lord. That's a very clear direction we're given as the psalm commences. Praise the Lord. And you might be sitting here or somewhere else tonight thinking, didn't we do this last week? And we kind of did. So if you've got your Bibles open in front of you, then if you glance back, even at the psalm we read this morning, I didn't expect to be reading it this morning, but the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 147, it begins and it ends with the words, praise the Lord. And if we glance back to Psalm 146, we can see that psalm, it begins and it ends with the words, praise the Lord. And if we jump forward to Psalm 149, we see that it begins and it ends with the words, praise the Lord. And if we go to the very end of the Psalter, the last psalm, Psalm 150, we see that it begins and it ends with the words, praise the Lord. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out what we're being directed to do through this psalm and these psalms. We are being directed to praise the Lord. That's the what. Neil Cameron tells a story. He tells it far better than I can, but it would take him 15 minutes to tell it, and you'd all be laughing at the end of it. But he tells a story about a lady, an old lady, and she loved to shout out during services. I don't know where the story came from. I can't remember, but this old lady, she loved to shout out during services, praise the Lord. So they'd be halfway through the reading, and there would be a point in the reading that would touch her, and she would just bellow it out, praise the Lord. Half a dozen times during the sermon, she'd be interrupting, praise the Lord. And it was a bit of a distraction, to be honest. So the minister, he tried to keep her quiet without much success. One particular day, he thought, I really need to try and keep her quiet for this sermon. And he went to the lady and he said to her, I tell you what, if you don't shout out today during the service, then I'll buy you a new pair of shoes. And she was quite poor, and she needed a new pair of shoes. And she decided before the service, well, she would try her hardest not to shout out, praise the Lord. But the sermon began, and the Bible was read, And there was verses that she was coming to that were touching her. And she was wanting to shout out, but she managed to hold it back. And then the sermon was going on, and she was enjoying it more and more. And it got to a point that it really touched her, and she was struggling to keep it back. And then she went a wee bit further on, and she couldn't hold it on anymore. She just blasted it out, shoes or no shoes, praise the Lord. And there are times when we're with the lady. There are times when we're in Scripture, we're listening to sermons, we're moved in our hearts, and we want to, everything in us wants to praise the Lord. Great times. But there are other times when things might be going wrong for us, when we're feeling low, when life becomes overly busy and stressful, and we're not like the old lady. And so we need to be told through Psalms like this, and Psalm 147, and Psalm 146, and Psalm 149, and Psalm 150. We need to be told over and over, whether you feel like it or not. What are you to do? We're to praise the Lord. So that's the what. The second question is where? Where is the Lord to be praised? And we see in verse 1, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights above. That's where it begins. That's where praise is to begin. Sometimes you go to cities and you see these shopping centres, these modern buildings, and it's all glass, and there's multiple stories, and you can see what's going on in the different levels of the shopping centre. And this psalm, it operates at two levels. You can see that even in the structuring of the text. It's kind of split down the middle. It's split into two sections, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 7 to 14. And there's the top level, there's the heavenly level, that's verses 1 to 6. And then there's the depths, there's the earthly level, that's verses 7 to 14. And the activity, what we're called to do, praise the Lord, well, where is it to happen? And the answer is, it's to happen on both levels. So in verse 1 and following, we have the directive for the upper level, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights above. And then as the psalm continues, we begin to see more clearly, not just the what and not just the where, but we start to see who it is that's called to praise the Lord. And in the top heavenly level, in verse 2, we see that all his angels are to praise him. Who's to praise the Lord? That's the third question. Well, in the first instance, all his angels. And if we take a scan through the Bible, I think there's maybe 300 odd references to beings called angels. There are such things, heavenly beings, as angels. They're not mythical creatures. They are real. Mysterious, but they are real. And sometimes they're sent from heaven to earth on messages. And we can think of various passages in Scripture where angelic beings are sent from heaven to earth with a message from God. We can perhaps think about stories as well from the mission field where missionaries have been in grave danger and angelic beings have been sent as protectors for a specific situation. So sometimes these angels of verse 2, they're sent to earth as messengers from heaven. Sometimes we know that they're gathered around the throne of God. But whether they're sent to earth or whether they're gathered around the throne in heaven, their primary sole purpose is to praise the Lord. And Isaiah, he gets a glimpse into heaven. In fact, let's just go there to wake ourselves back up. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is given this vision of heaven. And it says there, in the year that King Uzziah died, saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." So we have a picture there, we have a vision there of these angels in heaven, and they are consumed with praise for the Lord. Then it says in verse 2 still, "Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his heavenly hosts." And the question I want to ask, and I'm not crystal clear on the right answer to this, is who are the heavenly hosts? And what we do know is that the angels, they make up part of the heavenly hosts, but I think this includes believers also, who have gone on ahead of us. They're part of the heavenly host. Think about John. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and he's given this revelation. He's given this vision from God that we have in the last book of the Bible, and he gets a vision of a vast host, a vast multitude, where the angels and believers are gathered together in praising the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, maybe just go there for a moment. Revelation chapter 7 and at verse 9. John sees this window into heaven, and he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" To who's to praise the Lord? If you look at the top level here. Well, the angels are called to and they're engaged in praising the Lord. All the heavenly hosts are called to and they are engaged in praising the Lord. And I think this is, for our encouragement, worth just thinking upon for a moment. We often think about loved ones, believers, who have gone on ahead of us to the place that Jesus has prepared for them. These thoughts were in my mind actually Wednesday, Thursday, before we lost Ian and before we lost Dr. Hay. But it comes even more powerfully to us now. We think sometimes, don't we? When we miss those who've gone on ahead of us, we think about them and we think, what are they doing? You know, we have these experiences that we shared with them in time, but what are they doing in eternity? And much of that's hidden from us. But this much we know. We know that they are praising the Lord. Heaven is that place that is full of praise for the Lord. And it's an amazing thing to think that when we praise the Lord, when Farrakhar sings and when our hearts are moved to praise the Lord, we join together with the heavenly host. The angels, earth and heaven unite in praising the Lord. That's an amazing thing, I think, to mull over for a moment. Verse 3. Still thinking about the who. Who is it that praises the Lord? Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Now, we don't see the sun and moon and stars with mission praise books in their hands, or even psalm books. But their very existence, the sun, the moon, the stars, their light, their beauty, their majesty, their constant expressions of praise to the Lord. Calvin says God's glory is everywhere evident, as if speaking with an audible voice. Spurgeon says there is a perpetual adoration of the Lord in the skies. It varies with night and day, but it ever continues while sun and moon endure. They're in the sky to praise the Lord and to move us to praise the Lord. Praise in verse 4, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Highest heavens probably refers to the planets and the stars that we see through the telescope. The waters above the skies refer to the clouds and the rains, which we see plenty of. The rains which water the earth, which make things grow. They praise the Lord. There's a lot of praise goes on here. Let them, says the psalmist, praise the name of the Lord. The angels, the heavenly hosts, the sun and moon, the shining stars, the highest heavens, the waters above the skies, they unite in praising the Lord. One commentator, Lane, says, if we wonder how inanimate objects can praise God as well as living beings, the answer is that things do not have to be alive and conscious to glorify God. Their creation from nothing, their size and number, the fact that they inspire us to praise, all mean they have a part in the universal worship of God. All these things that take our breath away, they have a job to do. And their job is to praise the Lord. And the fourth question, the last question on this level is why? Why is there to be this universal praise of God? And the answer in verse 5 is, for he created, commanded, and they were created. And it's another reminder that God is our creator. The doctrine of creation is constantly under attack, because if the enemy can cause us to believe that God didn't create the world, then our focus comes off God. But as we see the beauty of this world, and as we acknowledge there's one behind it, we are constantly drawn to praise him. So when we feel the warmth of the sun, hopefully sometime soon, we praise the Lord. When we see the moon and the stars, when the clouds gather and the rains fall, when the crops grow, we should be moved to praise the Lord, because he's the one who made it all. There's so many people who come here to Harris, and they go to beaches and they take in views and they take photographs and they post them on social media, and they talk about the awesomeness of the universe. But the universe praises the name of the Creator. So we're not to praise the universe like they did in pagan times. We're to praise the Lord who created it. You know, when we see a painting in a gallery, usually there's the name of the artist just somewhere at the bottom of the painting. And all creation is stamped with that signature of God. He made it. So we should be able to say with the hymn writer, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, not the universe, how great thou art. We praise him because he made it. He set them, verse 6, in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. And this speaks to us about the fact that creation is continuing. We sometimes think about creation as something that happened a long time ago in distant history, that God created and then he stepped back. But he hasn't stepped back. He's always creating. It's his decree, it's his word that not only created life in the beginning, but holds it all together every day. And that should encourage us, I think. Eveson, the commentator, says, it's immensely reassuring to know that until God decides to end this present order, no stray asteroid, no activity in the sun, no chance acting from outer space, no human stupidity can bring this ordered universe to an end. That's the reality. God is holding all this together. Now that doesn't give us a reason to trash the planet. We're called to care for the planet that God has made. But the panic that there is today surrounding environmental campaigns, I think it indicates too much confidence in our own Save the Planet schemes and not enough confidence in God's promises. He's the sustainer. He's holding all this together, not us. And even the life that you and I have, we have it, we have the next breath. Not because we're eating enough vegetables and doing enough exercise, we have the next breath because God is sustaining us by his decree, his word. He is saying, live. And when our minds think about all these things, we are drawn to think about Jesus. Think about Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. It says there, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the glue that holds together this universe. In him all things, us included, were created. In him, all things hold together. So we should praise him. That takes us to the bottom level, and we'll move very quickly through this. We'll ask the same questions again. What are we called to do? As we come down to earth, as we look around us, what are we called to do? Well, verse 7 tells us we're called to praise the Lord. It's the recurring command. Praise the Lord. We might ask the question, do we need to hear this again? And I think I would answer, yes, we need to hear it again and again and again. You know, we set alarm clocks in the morning to wake us up. And then we hit snooze. And we go back to sleep for another 9 minutes. And then it goes off again. And again, and again. Why is that? It's because it's necessary. And spiritually speaking, it's necessary also. We are prone to snooze. We are prone to slumber. So you and I need that recurring command, that recurring call to break into our consciousness. Praise the Lord. So what are we to do? We're to praise the Lord. Where? Where is the Lord to be praised? Praise the Lord, verse 7, from the earth. You know, we look up at the skies, we see the stars, we see the sun, we see the moon, we see the clouds, we see the rain. They praise the Lord. We think about the heavenly hosts, the angels. They love to praise the Lord. But on planet Earth, imagine you're an alien and you landed on planet Earth for the first time. You started walking around, trying to figure out, what do these people do? What are they for? What's their purpose? How long would an alien have to look and listen before they saw and heard people who were praising the Lord? You know, on planet Earth, there's a resistance to praising the Lord. Why is that? Well, you know the answer. It's because of sin. You know, we tend to think of sin as the bad things we do. But the essence of sin is a failure to give God the praise that he's due. I think it was Rico Tyson, Christianity Explored, who said, the definition of sin is to live our lives without reference to God. To sin is to make something or someone or ourselves God. And to spend our lives praising them or us and not God. That's sin. And so we ask the question, why is the earth in such a mess? Why are there wars? Why are there divisions? Why is there famine? Why is there suffering? And the answer is, it all actually stems from a refusal to praise the Lord. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who made us for himself. He's the one who has, in Scripture, given us a manual for a healthy earth and a peaceful humanity. And when we take the Bible, and when we close it, and when we set it aside, not only is God not given the praise that he is due, but everything on earth falls apart. You know, we would see a global transformation if Psalm 100 came into reality. If all people that on earth do dwell sang to the Lord with cheerful voice, served him with mirth, told forth his praise, if that was to happen, if that praise was to flow from planet Earth, this place would be transformed overnight. But because of the resistance, because of the sin, because of that refusal to praise the Lord, we see such chaos. And yet our calling is that we are to praise the Lord on planet Earth. Then we come from the what and the where to the who. Who on planet Earth is to praise the Lord? Well, we have that in verses 7 to 10. You great sea creatures and ocean depths, lightning, hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. We have a gathering together there of all of creation, and they are called to, and they do, praise the Lord. And again, we're not talking about praising the Lord in church pews. We don't have an aquarium somewhere in the building for sea creatures to be in praise. We don't have services where we're gathering all the wild animals into the church building. But the creatures, when they do what they're designed to do, they praise the Lord. Spend half an hour with Brendan Latham. Ask him about beetles. In fact, you'll need 2 hours, not half an hour. You know, he will spend hours telling you about the intricacy, the peculiar beauty of these beasties that stirs in him this praise of the Lord. Even the lightning and the hail and the snow and the storm and the winds, the extremes of weather, they fill us with a sense of awe. The weather testifies to the power of God. Verse 11. Who's to praise? Kings of the earth. All nations, you princes, and all rulers on earth. Prime ministers, first ministers. Their calling is to praise the Lord. Young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them, verse 13, praise the name of the Lord. And the psalmist here is gathering all peoples, all classes, the noble, the ordinary, the rich, the poor, the young, the old, male, female, all gathered together in this command to praise the Lord. So none of us should walk out of here this evening wondering, what are we supposed to be doing with our lives? None of us should wander out of the service this evening thinking, why am I here? What is my purpose? Your purpose and mine, along with all of creation, is to praise the Lord. The sobering difference between us and the animals and the inanimate objects is that we have been given free will. We can decide how we'll respond to this call. But we'll also be judged on the last day by our Creator in terms of how we've responded to this call. We have a clear call. We are all included within it. Our lives are to be devoted to praising the Lord. And the final question is why? Verse 13, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and heavens. Why are we to praise the Lord? Well, because he's worthy of praise. That's why. I saw a Ferrari this week. I was walking down the call with the dog, and this Ferrari came roaring past me. A beautiful looking car. And I drove down through the village, and it parked up in the distillery car park. And when I was doing the loop around the village, I could see various people who were all coming towards the car to have a closer look. There was an old clapped out Golf just a few yards along from it. Nobody was looking at the old Golf, but they were drawn to the Ferrari. You kind of understand that, because, you know, for the car enthusiast, that's a beautiful car that's worthy of praise in some measure. But God, he is exalted above all. And even the wonder of all that we see in earth and heavens, the sea, the sky, the stars, the sun, the moon, they move us to awe, but they just give a dim reflection of his glory. He is infinitely greater. He is exalted over. His splendor is above all things. He is absolutely worthy of our praise. That's why we should praise him. But there's more, just as we finish. Verse 14 says, He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. And we look at that verse and we think, well, what's all this about? What is this horn? Well, the horn is symbolic of power. You can maybe remember that from Daniel and from Zechariah's dreams. The horn speaks this about power. So who was raised up for His people? Who was powerful enough to overcome sin and Satan and death and hell? Who is the focus of the praise of His saints? Who has enabled us, who were far from God, enemies of God, to be brought close to the heart of God? And the answer is Jesus. Why should we praise? Well, because of Jesus. Eveson, I'll give you two quotes and then we're finished. Eveson says the horn stands for David and his line of kings. The New Testament shows that the real, genuine king of David's line is Jesus. Through His perfect life, His atoning death, and victorious resurrection to God's right hand, He has redeemed the true Israel of God from all backgrounds and races to be to the praise of God. In Christ Jesus, those who were once far off have been made near. And so Wiersbe says, if any of God's creation has good reason to praise the Lord, it is mankind, because we have the privilege of knowing God more intimately, and we have the promise of one day being made like Christ. Angels rejoice when sinners are saved, but they cannot experience the grace of God. Have you experienced the grace of God? It's offered. Jesus died on a cross to take our sin away, so that we who were lost and wretched could be saved and forgiven. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Have we experienced that grace? If we have, then surely we have 1,000, 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. So if you and I are struggling this evening to find reasons to praise the Lord, let's ask God to open our eyes. And as we look at the skies, and as we look at the sea, and as we look at the creation, let's remember the one behind it, who spoke it into being, who holds it all together. But more than that, let's remember not just the Creator, but the Redeemer, Jesus, who went to a cross so that we who were lost and hopeless could be found and saved. If our eyes are open to see that, then surely our response with the psalmist will be praise the Lord. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we go from here and as we step out into the beauty of Your creation, help us to remember it is Your creation. And as we draw each breath, help us to remember we draw each breath because You have decreed that we will have the next breath. Help us to remember these things and to praise you for all that you have done and are doing for us. But above all, Lord, help us to see Jesus, to see his cross, to see his redeeming love, and to respond day by day to the amazing grace that he paid so dearly for. Enable us to respond in praise and in trust of Christ our Saviour. And we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. We'll hear the hymn sung to conclude, the hymn I quoted from. 506 in Mission Praise. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made.
Christ shall come with
Let's shout off acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.